Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Monday. Welcome back. It's April 4th.
Trivia.
Yes.
What cotton is the softest cotton? Answer, what you're wearing.
Oh, yeah, it's the flannel.
Nick's decked out in a flannel.
First pod with a dress code. I like what you're working with. Is that an L.L. Bean or is that a Carhartt?
No, it's a Christmas present from Alex.
Okay, that's not a brand, but we can roll with it, Jack. Snackers, honestly, first pod with a dress code. Last day of us recording from Aspen.
Today's pod's the coziest one yet.
It's actually also the schmanciest one yet.
TBOY.
TBOY.
For our first story, does a swarm of robo-bees in a techified beehive scare you?
When you put it like that, Jack, Beewise just raised $80 million to make honey profitable.
Our second story is the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment.
Fake wrestling is launching real TV shows.
Our third and final story, you have 30 minutes for lunch and 8 minutes to go to the bathroom.
And that's why one Amazon warehouse has officially unionized and the workers there have a story to tell.
But Snackers, before we hit that wonderful mix.
Honestly, fantastic mix and I do feel very cozy.
Hoarder's Almanac, week 107.
Week 107, things were running out of because of the pandemic. Jack and I have been keeping track for you.
This week, we're running out of spring break.
Okay, it's April. Like, literally, chronologically, you're running out of time.
We're just out of time. Yeah, there isn't much time to wear a tank top and go to a party with fake party glasses.
Which is like why Jack and I met up to ski ASAP, and honestly, there's barely any snow.
Snackers, if you're not Cancuning with a crew right now, it's probably too late.
Yeah, we're hoping you're listening to us on a JetBlue to Jamaica.
But we're also running out of spring break, not just because of time.
True.
We're running out of spring break things.
Great point, Jack, because you can't break for spring unless you got these assets.
There is an economic shortage of lifeguards in Florida.
There is Hasselhoff when you need them.
There's a shortage of rental cars in Cabo.
I hope your Havaianas are good for walking people.
There's a shortage of wait staff in Nassau.
I know you love a conch fritter. The conch fritter's not arriving for like an hour and a half.
It's yet. Not the Caribbean without the conch.
No, it's not. Most of it's batter, but you know what? We appreciate the dip.
The only thing there's a surplus of.
Yeah. Sunburns on the back part of your back where no one's reaching.
A lot of sunburns this spring break.
Also, we got extras of those yard-long cups from Senor Frogs that you never asked.
Carlos and Charlie's Senor Frogs, potato, potato.
Let's power hour our three stories, baby.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities.
Nope.
It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security.
Right.
Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, BeeWise just raised $80 million to create, you know, casual swarms of robot bees.
It's actually teched out beehives.
It is. It is.
And this is part of a growing ag tech industry.
Do you remember the last time you were stung, by the way?
Only once. It was a double whammy for me. Can I tell you the story?
They always come in hordes.
A bee flew into my face, hit me in the face.
Sabotage.
Then was mad at me for my face being in the way and stung my toe.
Jack, I don't want to go out on a limb here, but this sounds premeditated.
I lost twice.
Well, you look great now. In the meantime, snackers, what doesn't look great is the bee apocalypse.
30% of bee colonies disappear every year.
It's called colony collapse disorder. And Albert Einstein, talked about how significant this could be decades ago.
Bees are crucial to the world.
Yeah.
And Einstein said, if the bee disappears from the surface of the earth, man would have no more than 4 years left to live.
Now, it's kind of a mystery why all these bees are dying, but there are a whole bunch of theories like deforestation, pesticides, climate change, all the bad stuff.
Right. And if we lose 30% of bees a year, beekeepers make up for it by investing in new hives every year.
But this one startup in Israel, BeeWise, they have a better idea how to save the bees.
They think we should techify the beehive.
Yeah. They've basically created a smart home, but for the bees.
This is the most aggressive tech engagement with insects since Ant-Man.
And that is why BeeWise just raised a whopping $80 million to scale their cozy hives where bees can thrive.
This big human-made beehive,
yeah,
it looks like a giant computer server.
It does.
But with stacks of honeycombs instead of like computer chips.
What Jack and I are trying to say is, basically, what they've created is an Amazon Alexa, but for insect homes.
This hive thing has climate control to maintain the right temperature.
Just like you have a Nest thermostat in your home.
And this big thing monitors the hives for disease.
Just like you have a Fitbit to monitor your health.
There is also automated honey harvesting.
Because honestly, bees do all this work from the queen, and they kind of like a break too.
Here's the business model. Bees are the users of these techified hives, but apiaries are the customers.
And this is the goal. If you optimize honey output, then you optimize honey money.
Right. BeeWise is to help make profits in the bee industry.
Right. On a unit economics degree, they're trying to make each hive much more profitable.
It's your classic HaaS business.
Yes, not a SaaS model. This is a HaaS model.
Honey as a service.
Right, yeah.
Apiaries pay $2,000 up front,
okay,
then $400 a month for this techie service. And it gives you 24 colonies in that big computer server looking
thing. So you're shelling out $400 a month to give bees these like fancy homes, but it does make your hives run like efficient factories.
And it makes the hives comfier for those worker bees.
And you're kind of spoiling the bees. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at BeeWise?
America's oldest industry is getting a makeover. It's called ag tech.
Agricultural technology. Snackers, we've been plowing and planting for generations. But you don't fix a green thumb if it ain't broke.
We are seeing more innovation in farming than ever. And it's called ag tech.
Yeah, the field of ag tech. Last year was actually a record year for ag tech. Jack, how much money they bring in?
$5 billion of investments in 440 venture capital backed startups.
Can we talk about John Deere? Because I know you love John Deere.
He's a Vermonter.
He is.
But the company's in Illinois. That green tractor looked pretty much the same for 165 years.
John Deere unveils their first ever self-driving tractor for sale this fall. Tilling the toil like a Tesla.
Nicely said. Now, we've also covered vertical farming, which is when you grow lettuce in a high rise, not on a flat earth.
So Jack and I are looking at this. America's oldest industry is getting a software upgrade.
Robo beehives are just one part of it.
For our second story, World Wrestling Entertainment is expanding from fake wrestling to real TV shows.
In media, you're one of two things.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do both.
Two biceps. And it's hard to have both biceps. World Wrestling Entertainment, by the way, WWE publicly traded $5 billion sports company.
It's funny that this is a publicly traded stock.
It totally is. It's like the hardest core thing in Connecticut, by the way.
Yeah, Greenwich, Connecticut. Yeah. I feel like that's off brand to like the product they're selling.
It's like just off I-95.
The WWE, you've seen it, you believe it. Uh-huh. It's huge men in Speedos bashing each other with steel chairs.
Yes, and people pay to see that in real life because, you know, that's what you got to do.
I've paid. When I was a kid, I went to Springfield, the Springfield Civic Center.
Travel all the way down?
I saw Bill Goldberg do his spear.
Yeah, he sounds fun.
I saw
Disco Inferno was great.
I think that's a song. I don't know if that's a man.
It's a man.
Okay, it's a man. But Snackers, so those live event tickets and Stone Cold Steve Austin tees that Jack was loading up on in size medium, they are just 20% of this company's business.
80% of the WWE is TV deals.
TV deals. WWE makes almost $1 billion a year. So you can watch the pile driver, the suplex, the DDT. Did I surprise you?
You did surprise me.
On TV.
No one knows what a DDT stands for.
No, but WWE, yeah, technically it is sports. It is entertainment sports, but it's really a media company.
They depend on wrestling programming.
Which means this news was kind of a surprise. The WWE is working on its first ever scripted TV show.
We know what you're thinking. Yeah. Isn't the Undertaker's choke slam scripted?
Yeah. Seemed to come out of nowhere. Here comes Stone Cold Steve Austin. Guys.
And it is scripted. We've all seen those punches that don't even come close to the face.
But this is different. This is like literally a team of writers kind of scripted.
Right. WWE is doing scripted dramas for the streaming networks.
Can we talk about the first scripted drama, which is on Espanol?
A Spanish language comedy about a Mexican woman who really wants to become a luchadora.
Yeah, she wants to wear the mask like Nacho Libre was wearing.
Great movie.
Yeah.
And fantastic. This is going to be good, clean family fun.
Yeah, this is a rated G, and that's not your typical WWE content.
The second show the WWE is doing is called Pinned.
Pinned.
Because you have to pin someone for a three count to
win
the match.
It's a schmovie about a media mogul family like Succession, but with wrestling.
It's a drama loosely based on the McMahon family.
Yeah.
Vince, Shane, Linda, Stephanie, maybe even Triple H.
Oh, Triple H is showing up. But Snackers, that's not all.
WWE is getting into documentaries.
WWE is getting artsy. They're going for an Emmy.
They think they're Shonda Rhimes and Ken Burns.
At the same time. So Jack, what's a takeaway for our buddies over at the WWE?
Media falls into two categories. You're either creating or distributing.
Snackers, from influencer posts on Instagram to like the Real Housewives of Aspen, all of these involve media companies.
And those media companies are either creating content or distributing.
Creating or distributing. It's hard to do both. Like Netflix and Disney Plus, they do both, Jack. That's rare.
That's rare.
It's rare.
The WWE tried to do both.
Yeah.
They launched WWE Streaming Network.
They did. I remember well.
But it failed.
It totally failed. They actually shut down WWE Streaming last year. The content ended up on Peacock instead.
They looked in the mirror. They took off their mask and they realized they only have one media bicep.
One bicep. The WWE failed at distributing content, but it is fantastic at creating content.
And now with these scripted shows, they're doubling down on the creating.
For our third and final story, Amazon workers on Staten Island have formed Amazon's very first labor union.
This is
huge,
a big deal.
Huge.
6,000 Amazonians will now demand to be treated more reasonably.
Okay, now this story, it actually begins with a guy named Christian Smalls on Staten Island.
He was working in the largest New York Amazon warehouse on the 5th borough. Staten Island.
So the pandemic started and Mr. Smalls, working at Amazon, organized a strike at that specific warehouse. Like 50 people ended up joining him.
Yeah. He says that Amazon wasn't doing enough to keep workers like him safe from COVID-19 while they were on the job in the early pandemic.
Well, then things took a twist because Amazon fired Chris Smalls for a very bizarre reason.
Amazon said they fired him because he was violating social distance policies.
They didn't fire him for organizing a strike because, you know, it is illegal to fire someone.
Amazon didn't do that.
Organizing a strike.
Amazon fired him because he was standing 5 feet from someone, not the mandatory 6 feet from someone.
How convenient. He didn't have a measuring tape with him.
But Chris got the last laugh.
He did. It all went down on Friday.
He spent the last 2 years organizing a union drive at the Amazon Staten Island warehouse.
Because he and his coworkers, they wanted more reasonable productivity rates.
More reasonable is their words.
And it may be strange to hear productivity rates, but Amazon uses a very strange tool to measure their workers' productivity.
Amazon is notorious for measuring what they call time off task.
Time off task.
And they rank the productivity of all 6,000 workers in that plant like they were a worker bee.
It's called time off task.
Let's say you have to go to the bathroom.
Okay, that's time off your task.
Let's say you have to go to lunch.
That is time off your task.
Amazon is constantly, like a tech company, watching the metrics and ranking you against your coworkers.
And here's where things get freaky because, like, let's say you just want to take a bathroom break after you just taped up a package, probably your, I don't know, 20,000th package of the day.
Well, once you tape up that package, which probably has like an electric toothbrush going to Connecticut,
classic,
the clock starts ticking.
Yeah, your break would end the next time you scan another package.
Amazon uses tech to meticulously track the productivity of every worker.
Every second is counted as that time off your task.
It sounds incredibly stressful to work under those conditions.
I'm sweating right now.
So, last week, kind of unsurprisingly,
yeah.
Amazon's workers voted yes. They want to form Amazon's first labor union.
They'll ask to be treated more humanely, probably also ask for more pay and more benefits too. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Amazon?
Unionization is a threat to two-day prime delivery as we know it.
Two-day prime shipping, free for members. You love it. The OG value prop of Amazon.
Two-day free prime shipping is a logistical miracle, and it's made possible by those notorious productivity quotas.
So to protect two-day prime shipping, Amazon didn't want a union that would fight those productivity quotas, that would prevent it, basically, from pulling off this magical miracle of shipping.
To try to get this union vote to lose, Amazon decorated that Staten Island warehouse with posters that said, vote no to unionization.
And then, Jack, I couldn't even believe this one. Amazon even held mandatory meetings to explain to their employees why they thought unions were bad.
Yeah, workers had to attend and hear someone speak about what's bad going to happen if the union comes.
Boom, Amazon lost.
Staten Island formed Amazon's first labor union.
And honestly, this could spread to other warehouses soon.
If it does, for Amazon, this could threaten two-day free prime delivery as we know it.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us to kick off the week?
I have a correction for the BY story. Oh,
perfect.
They're not like smart homes for bees.
Yeah.
They're like luxury yurts.
Yeah, they're like yurts. Snaggers AgTech, it is innovating America's oldest industry.
The WWE is expanding from fake combat to real TV.
In media, you're one of two things. You're creating or you're distributing.
Our third and final story is Amazon. Both Amazon and Starbucks got their first labor unions this year.
And this threatens two-day free prime shipping as we know it. Now, time for a snack fact from snacker Nathan Cormier, currently in Indianapolis, Indiana.
If you average 10 to 11 hours of driving a day, which is about the most you can do in a day.
It's hefty.
It would take you about 4 days to drive from New York City to Los Angeles.
Okay, you did New York City to San Francisco.
Vermont to San Francisco.
Oh, wow. So yeah.
It took us 8 days.
And you run out of seltzer on like mile 283.
Middle America does not have seltzer in their gas stations.
Well, Jack did it in like a week. The fastest anyone has ever driven from New York City to Los Angeles is just 25 hours and 39 minutes.
Arnie Toman and Doug Tabut.
They accomplished this in 2020 during the pandemic.
Yeah, I guess traffic was low.
Okay, one wild caveat here though, the average driving speed to hit that record, 112 miles per hour.
That's why perhaps the biggest accomplishment here, zero speeding tickets.
That's the win.
I don't think they make police cars that go that fast.
I think that's the plot of Fast and the Furious 6. Tokyo Drift.
Okay.
Don't ask me, ask Ben.
All right.
Snackers, you look fantastic today. Jack, flannel pants tomorrow?
I have a pair. Do you?
Do you really?
I don't think you do.
I got one in case of an emergency.
Snackers, Nick and I will see you tomorrow.
Can't wait. And before we go, happy birthday to Anuj Arora over in Mumbai, India.
Happy birthday to Fern from Bangkok, celebrating in Singapore.
And Griffin Kelton, happy birthday in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Happy birthday to Julie Rich, who's in the Navy and celebrating in the port of San Diego.
And Fred Lynn, enjoy the birthday in Palos Verdes Estate.
Happy birthday to Bridget from Hanover, just outside of Boston.
And Hector Danda, happy birthday in Houston.
Congrats to Sarah from the Bronx, who just got into Columbia School of Social Work.
And Abhay Rao, enjoy the new job over Tonal.
Congrats to Robbie for getting a new gig in Chicago.
And congrats to the newest cohort of scouts over at Hawk Ventures.
Congrats to Jamia Hunter and Russell Davenport celebrating their anniversary in Houston.
Meanwhile, Allison and Ron have got their 30th wedding anniversary today over in Marblehead, Mass.
Congrats to Jarvis and Margarita getting married in Sonoma.
That is a great place to have a wedding.
And to anyone else celebrating something today, make it a T-boy.
Celebrate the wins in the Pinot.
This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon, Netflix, and Disney.
Robinhood Snacks, newsletters, and podcasts reflect the opinions of only the authors who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and do not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets, Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. They are meant for informational purposes only and are not a recommendation to buy or sell any security, cryptocurrency, or investment strategy in any account. This is not an offer or sale of a security, not a research report, and is not intended to serve on the basis for any investment decision. Any third-party information provided therein does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets, Inc., Robinhood Financial, LLC, or any of their subsidiaries or affiliates. All investments involve risk, including loss of principal and past performance, does not guarantee future results. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
He was working in the largest New York Amazon warehouse on the fifth borough, Staten Island.
The largest borough. Actually, no, it's not the largest borough, but.
It's not? Queens is the largest.
Queens is the largest. A lot of corrections coming. We're just cutting.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.